The procession of the Holy Eucharist in the monstrance through the city is a very powerful opportunity to pray alongside our Lord, triumphing and walking through the streets. So I invite you and encourage you to check out your local parishes, even if not your parish, perhaps there's a parish in the area where you can participate in a Corpus Christi procession. Also coming up on June 11th is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, these two have a close connection, specifically since originally the theme had been the Eucharist for this month, and then we adopted the Feast Day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and so the two are intimately connected. I want to give you four ways that you can really live out this theme in this month of June, because I know after the great feasting and the holidays we have, really from the beginning of the liturgical year, which begins with Advent and then the Christmas season, we quickly find ourselves in Lent and Easter, we have Ascension and Pentecost. All of these seasons are heavy packed in those months from really November all the way into May and June. But now we often find ourselves in ordinary time. And for some, many of us just can't wait for the next Advent or even perhaps the next Lent that's so far away. But the church actually has this rhythm throughout the year. In addition to the lives of the saints and the feast days, we begin to celebrate and focus on the body of Christ, the Eucharist, and the Sacred Heart. And so here are four things you can do this month. And I think this is important. Before I share them with you, we know as a church that fewer and fewer people actually believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Maybe this is something that you yourself have struggled with, believing whether or not Jesus Christ is truly present. Not only whether he became man, but whether or not the sacrifice we see, the sacrifice we receive in Holy Communion, is actually his body and actually his blood. It's challenging. Why? Because the Eucharist is a miracle. It goes beyond this world. It's also a mystery. We talk about sacraments. The word sacrament refers to the sign that the bread and wine are for Jesus Christ's body. But when we talk about sacraments, there are two types of ways to talk about them: sacrament and mystery. Now, in the church, in the Western lung of the church, as we refer to it, which is part of what makes up our Roman rite of the church, we focus on the sacrament, the sign, the bread and the wine. In the Eastern lung of the church, we have so many of the different rites, from the Chaldean to the Maronite, and so many others from the various Indian churches that St. Thomas founded. We could go on and on listing them, but they often focus on the mystery. And I think that this is the challenge posed for us this month, that we focus on the mystery behind the sign that we see on the altar. So here are four things that we can do this month, in the month of the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is a theme offered to us by the church. Number one, to focus on our devotion to the Eucharist. Now, that might mean that you're remembering to honor that fast an hour before communion on Sundays. It might mean that you're setting aside quiet time before Mass to read the readings for the Mass, to predispose yourself to receive the Eucharist, to make sure that you're in, always, a state of grace and worthy to receive the Eucharist. We'll actually be discussing how we can be better predisposed to worthily receive our Lord at Holy Communion, something that we often forget. It used to be 60 years ago, did you know, that most people actually didn't go to Holy Communion. Many people would stay in the pew. Why? Because they understood and recollected and really pondered whether or not they were really worthy to receive communion. Versus today, many of us actually do go and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ unworthily. So that's why we'll be discussing the Eucharist today. So number one, focus on your devotion to the Eucharist. Maybe you can begin attending Mass a couple times throughout the week. Maybe you can read a book on the Eucharist. One great idea, in fact, something I picked up over last month, our very own Karen Moran, our retired producer here on Trending, told me about it. I love seeing Alphonsus Liguori. I often refer to his writings, and she went up to me with a devotion to the Eucharist and shared this with me. And so it's a book I've had where you can go and pray in front of the Eucharist and take this simple devotion, just a couple pages long, for time spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament and before the Blessed Virgin Mary. Incredible devotional, very short and simple. We'll post a link to it in the show notes today at relevantradio.com/trending, where you can share this podcast and subscribe, by the way. Second thing I want to encourage you to do, and by the way, I was also meaning to recommend, make sure that you go ahead and go to Eucharistic Adoration if you've never done this before. Participate in those feast opportunities such as Corpus Christi and the procession, even if you're nervous and uncomfortable. Maybe you've never done such a public thing for your faith. Why not? And why not do it in the midst of a bunch of other Catholics? Trust me, you're safe, and you're safe in numbers. It might make you feel a little more comfortable. Okay, the second of the four things I want to encourage you to do in this month of June dedicated to the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus is to ask the Sacred Heart for love of the Eucharist. Ask for that devotion to the Eucharist. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, Jesus Christ, became flesh. He is incarnate. He is physically real and present in our lives in the Eucharist. He physically came to sacrifice himself on the cross. He's all-loving. He's perfect charity. He's divine. He's all-merciful. Come to him with our fears and our discomforts and our confusion about the Eucharist. Come even with our desire to believe in the Eucharist. You know, that common prayer that we hear that we need to pray every day. I love you, Lord. I believe. Help my unbelief. Remember, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is such an important prayer to pray, especially when we're having moments of difficulty in fully subscribing to what the Catholic Church teaches and all of its doctrine. From the doctrines surrounding spirituality, and even those doctrines addressing morality and how we conduct our lives day to day. The third thing you can do is pray for those struggling to believe in the Eucharist. Studies have shown that even many of our Catholic priests struggle with the true presence of Christ. Maybe someone you know is struggling to believe, yet they still remain faithful to attending Mass. Part of the reason I've heard many people struggle with belief in the true presence of Christ is because we so, blasé-ly, negligibly receive our Lord in Holy Communion. There can be a lack of reverence and respect on our part to receiving our Lord. There can also be a huge sense of hypocrisy when our loved ones know that we've done X, Y, and Z, and perhaps, although judgmentally, might assume we've not gone to confession. And we ponder, well, so-and-so is receiving the Eucharist, why can't I? And so I encourage you, pray for those who are struggling to believe. But also, let's work ourselves within the same mindset of more reverently receiving our Lord, not out of act, not out of show, but out of true devotion and love to Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that I want to encourage you to do in this month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Eucharist is to pray a prayer that really provides the opportunity for us to ponder Jesus Christ in the sacrament and alive in our life. There's this ancient prayer, and I'll post it this evening on social media. We'll also post it in the show notes today. It's an ancient Catholic prayer that's commonly been prayed in this month of June. And this is how it prays. We'll break it down a little bit. We read, "Hail, thou source of our being. Hail, thou cause of our redemption. Hail, most pure flesh of Christ, the Son of God. Take pity on me, and grant to thine unworthy servant that at the close of my life I may truly acknowledge thy holy body, which has been consecrated for me at the Mass, that in full faith I may adore thee and receive thee into my heart. Be to me a pledge of life in the likeness of death, in the lifelessness of death. O sweet, O loving Jesus, Son of Mary, have mercy on me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." This prayer provides such an opportunity to recognize, yes, breaking this prayer down just a little bit, and again, we'll post this in the show notes and I'll post on Instagram as well. God is the source of our being. He is the cause of our redemption. And in the Eucharist, the flesh of Christ, the Son of God, God is truly present. And then we ask for the sake of take pity, have mercy, right? That help to grant us who are unworthy, that at the end of our life, by then, finally, we will truly and fully acknowledge that Jesus Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in that sacred host, in that piece of bread that we see consecrated at Mass by the priest, that we might truly adore and receive into our hearts the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God, and that in the lifelessness, the death, that we might receive God, that we might have life in our death. And again, that prayer ends, O sweet Jesus, O loving Jesus, Son of Mary, have mercy upon me. Why do we need God, Christ's mercy? Well, this month of the Eucharist, the month of the Sacred Heart, is such a beautiful reminder of the great gift Jesus Christ has given to us in giving himself fully and completely to each and every single one of us. And in this great gift, we give ourselves in return, but we recognize that in everything we give back our sin, our disobedience, our irreverence, also our good deeds and our reverence and our love as well. But there's so much that we give to Christ that can't even touch upon the sacrifice or compare to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself has made for you and I.